Okay, before we go to the Word and to the message, let's have a quick prayer. Gracious and merciful God, we come to you today and we just thank you for, again, your presence with us this morning. We thank you for the ability and the energy and the wherewithal to be here, to be present this morning, to love you and to be loved by you this morning. Lord, we ask that you use the words out of Scripture. May they be lifted up into our spirit as we share in them today. Lord, help us to understand them through our study and our prayer. Lord, we ask that you be with us through this message, that certainly some points of it may resonate with us as we serve you in this broken world. Lord, be with us now as we again share in your word and the message from it. In Jesus' name, amen. So our message this morning is entitled Principle. It comes out of John 8, 31 through 38. I'm in the New Living Translation, so if you're studying along or following along, that's great. I will have a scripture reference later on in worship or in the message, and so it'll also be out of the New Living Translation. What I do encourage you to do before I start reading from the Word, I do encourage you to go home this week, grab a hold of your Bible, take a few moments, and read John 8. Read a whole chapter of John 8. I have taken an extract of this chapter, and it's when Jesus is actually talking to Abraham or about Abraham, and talking to the people about being the people of Abraham, actually. And so I've taken this section. But in order to truly understand, I think, where I'm going to leave you with some points to take home, I hope, I would like for you to read this scripture, this passage. I think it's truly important to our service to the Lord in this time. So let's go and see what the Lord has to say here this morning. Beginning in 31, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings." You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. Powerful words. And you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But we are descendants of Abraham, they said. We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will set us free? Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Yes, I realize that you are descendants of Abraham, and yet some of you are trying to kill me because there's no room in your hearts for my message. I am telling you what I saw when I was with my Father. But you are following the advice of your father. This is the infallible and perfect word of God." Again, good morning and welcome back to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. And what a beautiful Sunday morning it is. It is glorious outside. A day that you want to certainly not go home, eat lunch, and nap away. This is a day that you want to spend a lot of time in nature and certainly with God and your family. You know, Sundays are special. They are important to us in many different ways, aren't they? Sundays are special to us who consider ourselves to be Christians and who follow Christ each and every day. As we study Scripture, we learn that one of the things that Jesus desires the most from each and every one of us is that He wants us to be in fellowship with Him all the time. Unfortunately, we do not always set time aside for that fellowship because we are simply too busy keeping up in the pace of this world that we live in. But Sundays are different. Or at least they should be. You see, we take this seventh day of the week and we carve out about an hour of time to speak to God and to check in. "Hey God, how are you doing? Maybe it's what we come to church for. Hey God, how am I doing? Maybe it's what we come to church for. Sometimes we try to, you know, give ourselves as much credit as we can. We maybe we start our time clock when we begin to shower, eat our breakfast, and prepare for church. And we also give ourselves some time as we travel to and from church. So maybe we spend a little bit more than just this hour with Him. Maybe we credit ourselves to a 2 or 3 hour Sunday. But you know, that credit or that activity or thought process or ideology, it has always puzzled me, especially since I have been serving in the pulpit. Why do we enforce a measurement on our time with God? Why do we scale it? Why do we narrow it down to say, oh, but just an hour or two? Interesting. You see, when church starts, it begins as we gather, and then slowly we move into worship, and then we start talking about the Lord and the things that the Lord has done for us, and then we get to the Word, and we get through a couple prayers, and then we get to the message finally. And then in that message, in this time frame where we're actually reading God's Word and studying what at least I thought the Word is trying to tell us, we put parameters on that. In other words, we like the social aspect really well, but the study and the work of God's Word, well, that's a whole nother ball game. You see, that's called accountability, and that comes with the Word. Just like I talked to our young people this morning about being held accountable to the truth. You see, we're held accountable to the words in this book. They're not just words in a story. They are God's words for life. But we like to limit this part of our time together. Interesting concept. Just like we have these precious Sunday mornings, most of us serve a God who loves us 24/7, and we have selfishly carved out about an hour and 30 minutes today on this beautiful Sunday for Him. You see, now He's loved us all 7 days, 24 hours a day, but we're doing good. We've carved out about an hour and 30 minutes of our time for Him. I remember the time when Sundays were a very special day. And not too much in the distant past either. You know, I remember there were no convenience stores that were open, no shopping certainly, and no school activities for nowhere. Nowhere was there a school activity. The closest thing you could come to a sporting event was a backyard kickball game back when I grew up. Maybe a drugstore was open just for the emergency of things, but that's it. You might get a Hall's cough drop and a prescription, but you certainly weren't going shopping, and you certainly weren't going to do the things on a Sunday that we do today. You see, Sundays were set aside for three things: rest, service to God, and family. And all three of those intermingle with each other, and how important they are in our life. They're no more important then than they are today. It's just, do we consider them a principled priority in our life? That's a question we all must ask ourselves and answer. Friends, today we live on Sundays that are built on compromised principles. What we choose to do versus what we can do. You know, you see, every Sunday you'll hear me say, especially during the young people's message, you will hear me pray over them and thank God every single Sunday that their families have made today, this moment in time, a priority in their life. Because I am thankful for that. Because on many occasions, in many places, church isn't a principled priority. In this passage this morning, Jesus is saying to you and me that we are disciples of His. If you remain true to my teachings, you are a true disciple. He tells us that in this scripture. He also said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Then he goes on in this particular passage and he says that at the very end, he says, many are trying to kill me, for there is no room in their hearts for my message. Friends, this was written a long time ago. It's more true today than it likely was when it was written. Because if it isn't true, these pews this morning would be absolutely full. There'd be standing room only. They'd be standing outside the windows, peering in to hear God's word. Just in our lifetime, things that we have seen change. Isn't it amazing how times have changed, really? And what we pick as a priority or a principle in our life. Things that used to be wrong, but now they're right. Activities that were frowned upon, and now we accept them. Even in church, we see the demise in certain places. We hear things such as, well, hang tight now, that's okay. That's okay. We believe God has changed His mind on that. So that's okay. No, we're no longer have to follow that scripture. You see, that was in the Old Testament, and we're living in grace in the New Testament, and it debunked the Old Testament. We hear things like that. We can't say that. It certainly might wound somebody's feelings. We better be cautious of what we say or the principles we stand on. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. We don't want to perhaps share with someone what we believe because they may not believe that, and all of a sudden we'd be in opposition. As we serve Christ, friends, we are called to love. And in order to love, we must love in truth, as Jesus did. Don't think for one instance in His 33-year walk on this earth, He did not have opposition. We should, in our faith, in our principled faith, we should expect opposition. And we should be able to defeat that opposition based on the Word that we stand on and the foundations of beliefs that we have. God calls us to spread His Word. God calls us to spread a perfect Word, His perfect life, His grace and love and community. He asks us to spread that out there. It's easy to talk about God in here. I get it. As I look out through the sanctuary this morning and in different places, I realize I'm preaching to the choir. I know all of you believe what I believe, but I'm trying to convey what others don't believe. And why there's so few of us and so many of them. We have a job to do. We have to leave these walls and preach God's Word and share God's goodness and His good news. But we're going to have to do that in opposition. And I know we don't like it, but we're going to have to do it. God's truth is our standard. It's our standard of conduct. It's our standard of conversation. It's our standard by which we live on. It's our foundation. It's our concrete shoes that are immovable in our life. This message somehow, or in some ways, comes back to what I told you last week when I told you to enter the world like this. Meaning surrender yourself to God and you will find that peace and love that we talked about last week. If you do this morning, you will find that principled life you need to live in. Because you've surrendered yourself to God. You're not living on the world's principles. You're living on His principles. And now you're serving Him in those principles. As followers of Christ Jesus, we are principled people. And we should hold true to those principles. Look what's changed over our lifetime. Look what's changed just in the yesteryear example that I gave you. All those things have changed because the world has interceded into that. Where will you and I draw the line in the sand? Today's culture is built around compromise. And although compromise isn't a bad thing, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, it's not always the right thing. As Christians, we need to stand firm on the fact that God hasn't changed His mind on anything He has ever said. We have allowed the world to change it for us. God's standards haven't changed at all. Ours have. God's principles haven't changed at all, but ours are beginning to. The question for you this morning, the question for me this morning is, how serious are you about your principles and convictions? How serious will you stand on your ethical morality and your principles of life? Where are you in that stance? Have you drawn a line in the sand? Or do you keep moving your line backwards to accommodate the world? Are you willing to close the gate on worldly interference in your life and stand firmly on the truth of God? Are you willing to take a stand on a godly principle that isn't sociably popular in this world? Are you? Most of you will say this morning while you're here in service, absolutely, Derek, we'll take a stand. Absolutely, we're on God's page. No problem. And as soon as the chips are down and the life's pressure hits us, we all start to cave. You see, when you stand on principles, you may fall out of likeness with the status quo of the world. You will. It's going to happen. As Christians, we want our lives to reflect God's goodness. What makes this very difficult for us sometimes is that we live in a world where we rub shoulders with those who could care less about God's goodness. You know, my dad used to use an analogy on race day. Son, if they're not rubbing, they're not racing. Friends, as Christ followers, if you're not out here in the world having a little friction and a little bit of opposition, you're not living in Christ. He's calling you to your principles. He needs you to live and communicate and dwell with Him in His goodness that's found in the truth of the Holy Word. The world we live in today is becoming more permissible about everything but godliness. And that's simply where we are. You know, many of you have met Dr. Sloop. He is my mentor in commission lay pastor training. He sits right over there every time he comes. Wonderful man. Much better preacher than I am, that's for sure. He came here one Sunday morning, hit me up in the vestibule, hugged me, and said, "Brother, how are you today? It's great." He said, "I hope you have a lot of people. I don't think you're going to have many." I said, "What do you mean, Doc?" He said, "My Lord." He said, "I passed down here by the local high school." He said, "Every parking lot was full." He said, "The elementary was full. The middle school, or where they're building the middle school, they marked all that off." He said, "There's cars parked on the highway." He said, "What are they doing? They having a revival?" I said, "No, sir, that's a girls' volleyball tournament." He said, "Isn't the world changed?" And I don't want to take away from the girls' volleyball tournament. I don't want to take away from a Sunday baseball pickup or a softball game or a basketball tournament or travel ball. I'm not trying to take away from any of those important things in our kids' lives. But God's important too. And I'm proud of those people sitting here this morning who have showed that their principles to worship the Lord and be with Him and give time to Him, especially those who are even on Facebook this morning with us, taking time out to love Him as much as He has loved you. Serving God requires you and me to be obedient to the principles found in the Word. They're set forth in His holy Word. We must be a good character. We must serve with integrity. Truth above all else, even when it's hard to speak and share. Truth above all else, even when we know we're going to anger our friend who we're facing in that statement. Serve with a clear conscience as a follower of Jesus Christ. Remember, right is right, wrong is wrong. And there's no middle ground. It's either right or it's wrong. When you begin to find middle ground, you are steering away from the truth and the principle of God's Word. Serve with a humble and burdened heart. Acknowledge your own sin and repent for it. And let others know you're not perfect, but you are out here pounding the streets for Jesus because He pounded the streets for you. Finally, serve with a sacrificial spirit. Be willing to give of yourself because Christ gave everything for me and you. The reason we have the blessings we have is because of His sacrifice of love and grace and commitment on the cross. Last week, we talked about a lot of things, and one of the things that you probably took home was that doesn't matter how long Derek speaks, we hope he doesn't speak too long, but doesn't matter how long he speaks, if he speaks for 20 minutes, we're going to take 1 minute away from that sermon. He speaks 30 minutes, we're going to take about a minute 30 away from that sermon. The longer I speak, the less you take, I think. But in spirit of that, I want to close with a minute conversation on principles. And I want to try to give you a takeaway today. The question today is, how do we live in this ever-changing, broken world and do it on godly, principled values? How do we do it? Now, some will say on the bottom stoop outside, hey, Derek, we knock it out of the park every day. Well, we do some good things. But there are a lot of things that we compromise on we should never compromise on. So I went to Scripture trying to find the answer for you because there are many days in my life I'm not smart enough to answer this question. And I think I found it. I think I found it out of the words of the Apostle Paul. In Romans 1:17, he says the following. The good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. So, A, he's saying, we got some good news. I got some good news for you, friends. This is how you make yourself right in God's sight. This is how you're going to be righteous. This, Paul says, is accomplished from start to finish, from birth to death. It's accomplished by faith. As the Scriptures say, Paul declares and recites this Scripture, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Life now and eternal. So I had to break that down a little bit further. In layman's terms, to live a principled life under godly standards and principles, in a broken world that we all agree is, that surrounds us, we must totally trust God and believe without any doubt that what He states in this Holy Bible, in the Word of God, is the absolute, unfallible truth. Hands down. Done. Close the book. So today, in your 1 minute message, you have to remember one thing, two things. Romans 1:17. Go home, find it on the computer, highlight it in your Bible, plaster it to your refrigerator. I don't care how you do it. Read it, read it, read it, and read it. Until you absolutely understand what the Apostle Paul is telling you. In short, it says we have received life, our life, today and tomorrow through faith when we accepted Christ Jesus. This is the good news he speaks of. As our Savior, when Christ is accepted as our Savior, we have the good news in faith and that life translates into the power that you and I have today to live on the foundations of the Holy Word. You and I can live principled on this. Right is right, wrong is wrong. Paul has declared boldly that he is not ashamed of one word found in the gospel, nor should you be, because you are followers of Christ Jesus. Why are you doing this? Why do you live this way? Why do you have this faith? Because it's through the power of God's salvation that you and I can believe. It is through the power of God's mercy and grace He sent His Son Jesus Christ so that you and I will live eternally together. This, my friends, is why we stand firm on these principles. This is why we do not embark outside of this ark that takes us to salvation and to heaven. Amen.